Hi, this is Daniel Johnston from the Readers and Writers Paradise, and this is the Readers and Writers Paradise Podcast, episode number 10. Writers Paradise Podcast, book reviews for kids you can trust. Hi guys, I know it's been a really long time since I've done a podcast, but I've been busy. So luckily I have a really great podcast for you. Today this is a series of 6 different interviews with awesome kids book authors. These interviews were conducted today, Saturday, November 15th at the Rochester Children's Book Festival. It's a great festival. It was put on awesomely. There were tons of awesome exhibits. There were a bunch of great lectures too. And then there were, I think, like 40 to 50 authors there with their books, and a number of really stupendous authors, including the 6 who I interview here. A couple of the workshops I went to were very good also. And it was just really, really well done. All the authors were really nice, and there were literally hundreds of people there. I bet a couple thousand people there over the course of the day. And I really enjoyed going. And so let me tell you exactly who I interviewed. The first interview is with Paul M. Kimura. He's written I Kill the Mockingbird, which was his latest work. He's also written a few others. He's a really nice guy, and he's the first person I interviewed. And then the second one is Susan Williams Beckhorn. She's written mainly books about nature. She also recently wrote a young adult book, and she's written books about stuff like moose. She's written a couple moose books. She's written Kingfisher's Gifts, and she was also really nice and gave a really good interview. And then third is Erin Dion. She's written books like Notes from an Accidental Band Geek, which are for girls. And then she's also written action books like 14 Day Mystery Series, which the first title was Moxie and the Art of Rule Breaking. And the fourth author, it just published their first book, School of Charm, which is in the magical realism genre, so we'll talk about that. And then the fifth author I interviewed is the very famous Linda Sue Park. We had a great interview with her. She said a lot of insightful things, so definitely check out that. And then the last one was with Pat Fillon, who has been a longtime illustrator and has also recently wrote some of his own books. And you can go to the show notes if you're listening to this in iTunes or somewhere like that. The show notes will be at readersandwritersparadise.com/podcast010. And if you're on the website, you can just look in the show notes and they'll tell you exactly when each interview starts if you want to skip around or whatever. And I edited them all out with some of the interruptions that happened, that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, in some of them, the sound quality is not the best just because there were so many people there and it was so loud, but all of them you should be able to hear pretty well. So here they are. Okay, so the first one is with Paul M. Kimura. He wrote the book I Kill the Mockingbird, which is his most recent work, which I'll talk about in this interview. And he's just a really nice guy, so here is the interview.
So are you a full-time writer?
I am not a full-time writer. I have a day job. I have a full-time day job.
Okay.
But then this is my other job. I write at night and on weekends or early in the mornings before I go to work.
Okay. What's your other job?
I am the director of development for a community college, so I'm a fundraiser. I ask people to support the school where I work.
Okay. So you like get up early in the night? Or
I do. I usually get up at 5, I write till 7, and then I go to work, and then I go home. I have kids, dogs, wife, house, do all that stuff, and then I write again starting around 10 at night till midnight, and then I write a little bit. Then I take a day off now and then when I have a deadline.
Oh, wonderful.
So how did you get started?
Do they know about LTCR?
I love these books.
LTCR is like a network of families, adoptive families. And
they adopt my kids. Yeah.
Yes.
I love the books.
Yeah.
One day I started thinking, I think I could do that. And then I started practicing.
How long did it take before you published
this book?
Which one of your books do you like the best?
We still have sparkle.
Oh my goodness, that's a hard question.
Thank you so much for coming. Honestly, that was really nice.
Did I make myself clear about the creative process? Yeah.
Because once they became books,
we didn't go into your presentation. I mean, they're fun, and I
like to talk to people about
it. Oh, okay. So, okay.
But whatever the project is that I'm working on, I have to be so
invested. But thank you very much for
coming. Can we get the main book?
Yeah, the audience was so good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and everyone was so,
so how do you actually go about writing?
Can we get the main book?
Just every day. Just go at it every day. I always tell people my process is make a mess and clean it up. Because I don't write well. But
so,
They brought it up to a whole different level than it's gotten in the past couple of years. So that was really cool. What do you think, like, of the effectiveness of your collection? Well, you know, the nice thing is that my kids don't ever have to. I wish there were more. We just give our money to the school to be involved in here, but I don't like to sell stuff. I'm manageable, both as a reader and a writer.
Do you want to look around? Do you like to write? Yeah. The short story, do you like to read? Do you like to write? Yeah. The short story, the challenging in terms of, we're still here. So it's cool. So you think writing a short story can be harder than writing a book in some ways? I don't know if it's true, but it requires the same skill set. It's different.
I mean, just because you're a good short story writer doesn't mean you can write a novel. Just because you can write a novel doesn't mean you can write a short story.
Okay.
But you still have to have characters, plot, rising action, resolution, all the ingredients have to be there in a slightly different shape.
And then this book, Rachel Spinelli. Spinelli, that reminded me of Jerry Spinelli. Did you name the book after
him? I did not, and I know Jerry Spinelli, and I always tease him because I think some people have purchased that book thinking that it's by Jerry Spinelli.
That's
so whenever
cool.
I see him, I always
so
go,
"So how would you say
you.
Her name in Korean?"
But no, it's
is there a way to say
not,
it in Korean?
So Koreans, we say our last name first.
And then, what's your
so
advice
instead of Yang Choi, Choi Yang Choi.
Okay, so it's Shanahan.
Writing is something that can be learned.
So you'd be Shanahan.
But the first reading part is when you start doing anything, whether it's writing a book or playing baseball or writing a
description,
you do it badly. So your reaction is to stop. But the only way to get better is to practice and to look at other people that do it well. So read and write. It's the same for me, same for you.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, what do you say?
How did you come up with the idea?
Thank you. Enjoy the day.
It comes from a lot of different places. So for this particular book, I was frustrated with my own kids' summer reading list. So I was like, oh, that's dumb. Which it's not. But so I was really thinking about that. It was conversations I was having with other people. It was stories in my own notebooks. I keep notebooks. And then you start drawing your ingredients together to build a bigger whole. So it didn't come from one particular place, but at first it was a reaction to some reading list.
Okay.
And then, are there any new books you're planning?
Oh, sure. I have, I have lots of books that I want to write,
yeah.
And I'm working on several, but they're all in progress. So, Yeah, they're not whole enough to say, here's what's coming next. It's all work in progress.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And next we have Susan Williams Backhorn, who's written books like Kingfisher's Gift and most recently Windrider. And she likes to write books about nature, as we'll see here. So here is this interview.
So are you a full-time author, or is it part-time?
I'm a full-time author.
Okay. Do you make your money also from your sales, or do you also do like book visits, school visits, and that?
I do school visits as well.
Okay.
So I love doing school visits.
Yes. Okay. And then, so how did you become a writer like this?
Well, I started out as a bookworm, and I just, I used to walk to school reading a book.
Yeah.
I read under my desk in math class. That's why I'm not so good at math. I think I just thought that someday I would write my own stories. And when I got into seventh grade and started getting creative writing assignments, I thought, this is something I can do. I can't do math, but I can write.
So how did it go from that to being published?
Very slow. It's a hard, tough process. I first started submitting things after college. That was 1975. I didn't get my first book published until 2000.
Wow.
So 25 years. But on the way, I wrote features for my local paper. I started publishing in magazines, and you just sort of baby step the way up, improving the process all the time.
How many books did you write during that time that weren't published?
Probably five, six,
What made you decide to keep going?
I'm very stubborn, and I think in my heart, I knew I could do it. I just had to polish my craft and be persistent. Some people say it's 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration.
So what kind of books do you like reading? Like, all kinds?
Do I like to read? I mostly read fiction.
Yeah.
And I actually mostly read middle grade and young adult.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. And anything about nature and the outdoors.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like you're
Elizabeth Blackwell. Which would be one for me. Are you a teacher or librarian?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of your books seem magical, but they're actually just about like simple things in real life. Is that accurate?
There's a lot of real stuff in my stories.
Yeah.
So I bring, even though this is a made-up fable, I like to have real facts about my singer, that they shed their
hands. Everything in there was cut out and dried up. But I'm currently writing a story about this story that you never told me.
What is your writing
process? I do my best work when I first woke up here. My husband brings me a coffee in bed, and I open up my laptop at 6 o'clock, and if I can go until 8, that's great.
Literally, my husband has
a lot of other things. And hopefully I get back to my desk during the day. Don't always.
So do you plan a lot before you write, or do you just do it?
There are two schools of thought. Stephen King likes to set up characters, throw them in a situation, and see what they do. I think I'm closer to that. I don't usually make detailed outlines, but I have found that it's useful.
So you think it could work for some people?
It's actually nonfiction.
It's just,
I call it a story.
Okay. And then,
I write them like stories.
Your latest book is for older kids than you usually write, isn't it?
Nonfiction.
The one I'm working on now that's non-fiction in 2016 is middle
grade.
I think I'm most of my work is middle grade.
Okay.
This one borders on young adult, although younger kids can read.
Right. So what made you decide to write that book?
To write
like more of a young adult.
That's maybe what I enjoy reading.
Okay.
I think I'm really fascinated with that and time of life when kids are just starting to become adult and those life experiences that open things up and you get this growth and this self-confidence if you haven't had it before.
Yeah. And then, what's your advice for young writers?
Read. Try to write every day. Do a little something every day.
Yeah.
Did you guys do projects?
I don't know what genre. Try to get to conferences and places where you can network with other writers.
Yeah.
They can be expensive, but you can often get scholarships.
Okay. And then,
on my website, I have
a bachelor's. Well, that one's not
thank you.
Okay, so this next interview is with Erin Dion. She has written books for girls, such as No Trauma Accidental Band Geek and other books like that. And then she's also written some mystery series, 14-day mystery series, which the first book was Moxie and the Art of Rule Breaking. She also gave a character workshop later in the day, which we allude to here, which I went to and was very good. So here is the interview with her.
This is very simple information. So this is the only
I'm not a full-time writer. I'm a writer and a teacher. I teach college-level English classes.
Yeah.
Where do you teach?
I teach outside of Boston.
That's very interesting.
It's called Montserrat College of Art.
Okay.
These are very cool,
so,
too.
Thank you.
Where do you find the time to write them?
I
write at night after my kids go to bed, and I write
I was hired by an educational publisher, but this is for younger. It's for kids that are just learning to read. And so it's the sound of the letters. It's more for kindergarten and first grade.
What was the book? Okay. Oh, yeah, like all the...
All the different
I worked for a really long time on one book that was kind of like dark and sad and not funny. I worked on it for 7 years. And then I wrote a short story that was kind of a funny story. And a writer friend of mine said, about the funny story, you should turn that into a novel. And I did. And that became Model City Chocolate Cookies. It won a contest and it got published. It took me about 10 years total of writing and revising and learning about writing. So.
So you're giving a talk to your characters, right?
Yes.
Tell what you're going to say.
I'm going to talk about how important it is to get to know your character before you start working on a book. And I'm going to show some of the ways that I do that by doing a lot of brainstorming about who the character is, what their family's like, what they like, what they don't like. So it should be pretty fun.
Okay. And then, it seems like your books are kind of like about like just ordinary stuff, you know, like your mystery books. So how do you know what kids are gonna like?
You know, you never know what kids are gonna like. I write stories that I think are interesting about interesting kids.
Yeah.
And I hope that readers will respond well. I try to make my characters feel like real people. And I think that helps readers connect with them, and so far it seems to be working.
And then, so what's your advice for kid writers?
Write as much as you can and read as much as you can. Read stuff that you don't think that you would like. Read out of your comfort zone, because every type of book is a different way to tell a story, and that only is going to help you as a writer.
Okay. And then, what have you got planned for now?
I'm working on a book that's coming out in 2016, and it's another kind of standalone. It's not part of the series, and it's hopefully going to be another funny book.
And then this interview is with Lisa Scott, who has just published her first book at the beginning of this year, School of Charm. It's, as you can probably tell from the title, it's a magical realism book, which is kind of a newer classification of genre, and a lot of my longtime readers may know I don't really like fantasy too much. I do like magical realism a lot, though, and we talk about that in this interview, so here it is.
So what was your writing journey like?
Are you recording me on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I knew...
I'm just recording the audio.
Okay. Can you pick me up? Am I loud enough? You can hear it? Well, I knew that I wanted to be a writer when I was in second grade and I got my first writing assignment and I thought, oh my gosh, I can create the story and it can be whatever I want to be. So I knew from a young age that I wanted to tell stories. And I looked for every opportunity I could to write. You know, I wrote for the school paper. But ultimately, I became a TV news anchor first. So for about, you know, 20 years, I was a reporter and an anchor. Which in a way, you're still telling stories. They're just shorter stories. But on my lunch breaks, while I was a news anchor, I wrote this book. So probably, it was probably like 2007, I started, you know, writing, thinking, okay, I want to get published. I wrote one, like, women's fiction novel that I couldn't find an agent for, and then I read an interesting article that said you should write what age you feel, and for me, you know, this is middle grade, which is considered like 8 to 12 year old, so that transitional age of middle school, to me, really sticks in my memory. You know, one day you want to be a kid, the next day you're an adult. So I thought, I want to write that. So I wrote a different book and tried to send it to some agents, and nobody wanted that book. So then this book, I actually woke up from a dream, and I had this image of this mysterious, interesting older woman in the woods, and she had a little group of girls around her, and she was teaching them something. And you know, when you're a writer, like, normal people would just, like, forget about that, but when you're a writer, you're like, oh, what is that woman? Who is that? You know, why is that woman there? What was she teaching them? And you can't stop thinking about it. And so that's how this story came to be. So I wrote this story, and I started sending it out to agents, and I got some interest, but this is like 2008, but I wasn't able to get an agent, and then I lost my news anchor job. And right after that, another agent wanted to read the whole thing, which is called The Full, which means they're very interested in it. So I was super excited. I thought, well, you know, I'm going down a different journey. And then she didn't want it. And I was just so depressed by the disappointment of it that I stopped writing for a while. Because it was just too much. I mean, writing is such a difficult thing. You know, you put your heart on the paper, and when somebody tells you it's not good enough, that's really hard. So, but when you're a writer, you really can't stop writing. So probably about a year later, I started writing again, and I actually started writing romance, and I started learning about self-publishing, and I started self-publishing my romances, and I was going to self-publish this, and I have a friend who said, no, you have to try one more time to get an agent. So I sent it to one more agent, and she wanted it.
So did you revise the book?
That's a good question. I did not really revise it that much. It was just a matter of finding the right person who felt strongly about it. And that was the same for all the editors. You know, we sent it out. She had me change a couple little things, not much. And we sent it to editors, and, you know, the first round of editors, some people were interested, just didn't love it enough. So we sent it out again, and there was somebody who just loved it, you know. There were changes she wanted, but, you know, and actually some of the changes she wanted were what other editors had a problem with, but there was something about it that she liked enough that she wanted to work on it with me. So the whole thing, so I wrote the book in 2007, we sold it in 2011, and it wasn't published until this, you know, March of 2014, so it's a long process.
Yeah.
You know?
How many agents can you send it to?
Oh gosh, dozens. Yeah. But, you know, so that's why it's such a hard thing with writing, you know?
Yeah.
That so many people can say they don't want it, but then one does.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, would you say it's fair to say your book's in the magical realism genre?
It's what?
magical realism genre?
Yes. Okay. Light magical realism, I'd say. But that's what HarperCollins has asked me to write another book like that. So.
When's it going to come out?
I'm still writing it. So.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Would you guys like would you like a turtle? There's a turtle in my book, so that's why I'm giving them out. Did you have any other questions?
Yeah, well, what do you think about the magical realism?
I love magical realism. Mine is actually more like, I specifically wanted to write mine so that the things that happen, you really wonder, was it just coincidence or were there really bits of magic? I love the idea of somebody reading this book and then realizing that, you know, maybe magic really is all around us and looking, like, even in my life, like, if I see a hummingbird in my backyard, I take that as a sign of good luck. I take that to mean something good's going to happen. So, for me, I like that idea of the world not being everything we know it to be, you know?
Yeah, I really like that because I've never liked, like, full-on fantasy, you know, with a whole different...
Right, right. It's not full-on fantasy, but it suggests that there could be more to the world than we know if you only look close enough. Yeah, that's what I like about it, yeah.
Yeah, and then what would be your advice to kid writers?
Well, I think you have to read a lot.
Yeah.
And I would even read books you don't like to figure out... why doesn't this book work for me? And that helps you figure out what kind of book you do want to write.
Yeah.
Like the books that you really love to read, that's the kind of book you should write.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would keep a journal, I would keep a notebook, and just write down your dreams. Like this book started from a dream I had.
Yeah.
So, you know, just constantly look for every opportunity to write.
Yes and no.
And, you know, just be prepared that some people are not going to like your book. But if you're a writer, you can't not write. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I tried to not write, and I couldn't. So, if you're a writer, you will write. Okay?
And here's the interview with Linda Sue Park, who really needs no introduction. I first met her several years ago when the 9th book of the 39 Clues Storm Warning came out, which she wrote, and she gave a book talk and book signing, and I got it signed by her. And today I also got the 5th book, I think, the 5th or the 4th, I don't remember, of the second 39 Clues series, Trust No One, signed by her today. Unfortunately, I lost it, but that's okay, because she was really nice and gave us this great interview. And it was really funny, because people kept coming in and interrupting, so the interview, probably like 5 or 6 minutes of it was edited out, because it was just us constantly being interrupted by other people, because there were so many people who wanted to come and talk to her and get her autograph and stuff. But luckily, I edited all that out for you, so here is this great interview.
What was your journey to writing?
I became a writer because I was a reader, always as a child, loved to read books. So I just read so many books that it just was like, I wanted to write some too.
Okay, and then how did you go from that to being a published author?
That was hard. You have to just persevere and not give up, because every writer goes through a lot of rejection. So I kept reading and reading, I kept writing and rewriting and revising, and eventually, finally, I got to the level where a publisher accepted my first book, and I've worked mostly with that publisher ever since then. So that was important for me, was revising a lot, working really hard, and never giving up.
How many books did you write then before the publisher?
Well, altogether, I think I have something like 20 books published. I've had at least 20 books rejected. So I've had as many or more rejected than I've had accepted.
And were all those before your first book?
No, not all of them. Okay. Sometimes I've written them after and they just weren't good enough. So
what was it like for you when your writing started becoming really popular, like it does?
Oh, it was such a terrific feeling. It was really, really gratifying, you know, and unsurprising, you know. I was just thrilled. So, yeah.
What is your writing process?
My writing process is that I try to write every day, and I always give myself a tiny assignment. It's too intimidating to think about the whole book. So I'll say, I'm writing this scene today, and all I have to do is write one page or two pages. So I write my books a tiny bit at a time.
Okay. And And then you plan them out ahead of time a lot.
I have a rough plan, but I also like to be surprised.
Yeah.
So it's sort of both. A little bit of a plan, but also room to be surprised.
Okay? And then you said your strength is writing emotion, right?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So what do you think makes a good emotional writer?
I think the ability to, you know, to look at myself, you know, all of us have the whole range of emotions. Sometimes I'm angry, sometimes I'm mean, you know, so I have to tap on in that to write my bad guys, you know, and then, you know, so it's, I think it's the ability to just sort of think about what is that really like and to hope that other people know those feelings, you know, so.
Okay, so you've written for both young adults and kids.
Uh-huh.
So what are the challenges?
I write the story that I want to write. I write the character that I want to write. And after that, the publisher decides who to market it to. So for me, I'm always thinking just about the story and what the story needs and what the character's struggle is and that. And then somebody else decides who should read it. Somebody else puts the age on it.
So does that mean your books might have to go through serious revision then if they decide, like,
No, yeah, it could, that's possible. That could possibly happen. But usually we're in sync, you know,
Okay. And then what would your advice be to young writers?
Read. Because you need to have a whole bunch of great sentences and stories and words go into your head if you're going to get any out. You see what I mean? So, okay?
Yeah. Okay. And then what projects do you have planned for the future?
I have two picture books, and I'm working on a novel now. And nothing will be out before 2016, so it's still a long time to wait.
Okay? Cool. Well, thank you.
Okay, and then finally, the last interview is with Matt Fallon, who happens to have illustrated a book for Linda C. Park. And he has illustrated a number of books for other people and has also recently written a couple of his own. So here's the interview with him.
Okay, so are you a full-time author?
I am a full-time illustrator and author, yeah.
Okay, so do you do school visits too?
I do, yeah. That's the only thing that gets me out of my studio is school visits and book festivals.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what was your journey like to be where you are now?
What was that?
What was your journey like to be where you are now?
You know, I was doing another job. I was an adult having another career. But whenever someone said, "What is your dream job?" I always said, "Children's book illustrator." So at one point, I said, "You know, I'm going to concentrate on trying to do that." So I spent about 5 years to kind of put a portfolio together, and I broke in that way.
Okay.
Yeah. This is my first book. Yeah.
And then, what made you decide to write your own book after illustrating other people's?
It was a case of having this idea for a longer novel, and then realizing that if I did it like a graphic novel, as a comic, then I could tell the story in the pictures as well as the words. So as an illustrator, that was the best way.
Yeah.
And it was just, I had the story in my head, and no one else was going to write it, so I knew I had to sort of do it myself.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then, how did you get the idea?
The idea is sort of things I've always been interested in. So I always had an interest in the Dust Bowl from my first book. And then I became interested in the idea of an American fairy tale. And I put the two ideas together, and that's kind of where the story came from. Yeah. So it's usually a case of taking two things you like and putting them together.
Yeah.
Is where the books come from.
Okay. And so do you enjoy illustrating or writing, or is it a tie?
It's a tie at this point, yeah. I also still love illustrating for other people. Because
yeah.
It's interesting to take stories that I wouldn't have thought of, like this book about Emily Dickinson. I would never have thought to write a book about Emily Dickinson, but I got to be in that world and do that book. So I really enjoy that during both.
Okay. And then what's your advice to kid authors and illustrators?
Authors and illustrators is just keep writing or drawing. It's like anything else. The more you do, the better you get.
Yeah.
And you're never going to learn everything there is to know about it. So just keep doing it, and then you'll just get better and better.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what are your future plans coming up?
Just keep going. I have another graphic novel I'm about to start, and I have another picture book coming out in the spring, and just keep it going. It's my plan.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good questions.
So there are the interviews. So thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to listen to this podcast. I hope you found these interviews as interesting as I did. If you have anything to say about them or anything like that, please comment on my website and make sure to check out for future podcasts. And hopefully these interviews also inspired you to write yourself and get writing. So I have to actually go and get writing myself. So I'll see you later. Bye.